This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown for January 27, 2011. On Sunday evening, Governor LePage's office released a six-page document titled Phase 1 of Governor's Regulatory Reform Proposals. In these pages are 63 proposals to reform or repeal environmental and consumer protection laws and procedures in Maine with the expressed intent of making Maine more business-friendly. This came on the heels of an environmental roundtable last week at which the governor stated he favored strong environmental protection for the state. There have been a slew of media reports and statements on the sweeping proposals in the document. And yesterday there was a strong public reaction at one of the meetings of the legislature's Joint Select Committee on Regulatory Fairness and Reform, who has been charged with reviewing the document. Two public meetings have been held so far, and six more will be held statewide in the coming weeks. Public hearings will be scheduled for later this winter. Today we have two interviews, one with the governor's office press secretary and another with a member of the Natural Resources Council of Maine. We spoke first with the governor's office. So we have with us today Adrian Bennett, press secretary for Governor LePage's office. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Meredith.
So we have before us a six-page document titled Phase 1 of Governor's Regulatory Reform Proposals. This includes dozens of reforms and outright repeals or abolishment of Maine's current environmental laws and institutions like the Board of Environmental Protection, the restructuring of the pesticides control procedures, and the rezoning of 3 million acres of Maine's unorganized territories for development. A number of product safety, recycling, and clean air laws are also specifically or generally mentioned in this document. Mm-hmm. And so we want to touch on a number of these during our few minutes together, as well as where these laws originated, what their intention is, and how implementation might actually look like.
Sure, sure.
So, okay, go ahead.
And one of the first things, Meredith, I think we want to make clear is that these proposals are in concept form right now. They are not in or drafted up in bill form yet. So there's still some discussions to be had, and we're willing, you know, to have those discussions with folks. So another thing we want to make perfectly clear, the administration, we're not trying to tear down the environmental laws, but we do need to find a balance so business can grow in our state. Currently, we are 48th in regulatory environment. We need to move to the middle of the pack. And this is one of the ways with some of these proposals that are they're going to help move Maine forward and get us back into the direction that we need to be going in.
So last week, the governor participated in an environmental roundtable and explicitly said that he would support environmental laws based on science. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of laws that are at target here. Specifically in the document, BPA, the BPA law doesn't even actually go into discussion of its bisphenol A or what that law is about, but that is a target for elimination. How are you or how is the governor's administration addressing the science that this law is based on to protect the health specifically of children, but of many of our population when we're looking at the high content of BPA being found in breast milk, urine, blood, and
sure.
the very real concerns about this toxin.
Right, and we understand, the administration understands that this is an issue that is important to Mainers. However, we also need to understand that we're first in the nation to pass this law, and it was under a precautionary principle, and we are looking at more of a national approach, and you know the laws that are under the federal guidelines at this time, we feel that those are appropriate, and those are laws that that are protecting Americans, and they can protect Mainers as well. So in terms of basing things on science, you know, we are requiring, we want to adopt a standard for rulemaking requiring rules to be predicated on valid science and clarity of language.
Are you questioning the validity of the science?
You know, that's something that I think we need to look at a little bit further into.
And how does then this particular law, since it was singled out, but certainly consumer protection laws were generally discussed or targeted in this six-page document, how would the elimination of these laws help jobs in Maine?
Well, a lot of these laws, you have to understand that rules and regulation, they cost money. It costs money to implement these laws. It costs money for manufacturers, for businesses. And so I think in terms of looking at it that way, that's what's going to either be able to, it's going to help businesses create more jobs and cost Maine less money.
There are specific businesses in Maine that are manufacturing and BPA products?
That I don't have the information on. So.
Are you receiving pressure then from outside lobbies concerning this law?
That I did not. I personally did not have, I don't have information on that.
Okay, so maybe we...
I don't believe so, but...
I'd like to revisit some of the other issues we brought at the beginning, but maybe we should talk a little bit about the origin of this document. Who wrote it? Go ahead.
Well, you know, this document, of course, you all know, you've heard about the red tape audit meetings that the governor has been holding across the state. And a lot of
With who?
The red tape meetings. The chambers have been hosting them, and business owners from all across the state, they've been attending these. And when all is said and done, we'll have input from more than 1,000 business people from across the state. So a lot of these ideas, suggestions, concerns, again, in concept form, have been presented to us from the business people of Maine. And that's where you're finding, they're being derived from.
So you feel that the main message of the business communities of Maine is that environmental laws are prohibiting jobs?
What we're finding is that the rules and regulations within the DEP are hindering business in our state. It's clear the message has been very consistent that business is unfriendly in our state, and the DEP does have a lot to do with that.
And to go back to something you said earlier when you were talking about the cost of instituting a BPA law, then that's looking more at state spending as a whole than specifically impacting a specific industry in the state.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Sorry, I should have asked that question closer to when we had asked it. But you were saying that there was concern that the costs of implementing the BPA laws and other consumer protection laws were taking money away from
the
state. Well,
that's a possibility. I'm not saying that, in fact, that is the case. There's still more discussion that needs to be had. We need to look at this in depth. And like I said, these are in concept form. There are going to be further discussions. They will be thought-provoking, and they will be informative. We still have more work to do on this.
Great. And also, it seems to be a reoccurring theme in the six-page document. Again, we're talking about, for listeners, phase one of governor's regulatory reform proposals, which targets a number of environmental policies currently established in the state of Maine.
Right.
And go ahead.
If I can give you another example, hazardous waste regulations in Maine. We have got a regulation list that's about an inch thick, okay? And what we want is more conformity to the federal regulations. Now, for example, Mississippi, they looked at their hazardous waste regulations, and they have adopted new rules, and it's 7 pages long. So we've got an inch thick, of regulations compared to 7 pages. Now, the administration, we don't want to dismantle Maine's environmental laws, but some changes do need to be made in order to give business the chance to succeed. Now, right now, businesses, they are the endangered species. So, again, looking to conform to the federal standards, and if they're good, for the nation, then they can be good for Maine, too.
And that was one of the main cruxes that I wanted to bring up, too, that comes up in this document, the federal versus state, the declaration that the administration would like to harmonize all state environmental regulations with federal standards, where nationally it's a given normally that states are allowed to enforce stronger environmental or any other laws above the federal level. So that's one point being made, and I'd like you to speak to that, but also speak to this idea, and on the other hand, in the document, there's an emphasis on putting a lot of responsibility at the municipality level. So in one sense, we're handing the decision-making over to the federal level, but in the other sense, bringing it right down to the municipality levels where perhaps there are not the environmental or natural resources planners in place to deal with different regulatory issues dealing with the environment.
Well, for the latter question, you know, I think local control, you know, that's a big factor, and that's something important. I think it's important to all Mainers. And going back to the, I know the issue of the 10 million acres, you know, under LURC, that's been, you know, an issue of contention right off the bat from environmentalists. And what we're looking to do here is not tear apart Maine woods. We're looking to make it into a working forest. We need to make this work for all people. And we think that this is a compromise.
So what about that issue of local control and going back to the federal standards? Maine people have worked for a number of years to put in place institutions and laws that, by and large, and many bipartisan efforts have sought to put in environmental health measures. That's state control, local control, but the administration seems to be wanting to take rest that power away.
I don't necessarily, I'm not sure if I'm understanding your question.
It's state versus federal power.
Right. But we believe that the administration, you know, if we can look to some of the laws of the federal government, instead of putting more resources into creating these, you know, new laws that we don't have valid science on, then that could be helping our state. We're not looking, you know, to dismantle laws that could hurt Mainers. We're not looking to do that. I probably didn't answer that question, you know, like you wanted me to, but...
Well, let's move, because we just have a couple of minutes left, and we do want to get to the part where we talk, and we do hope we can follow up on this issue, obviously, as it unfolds, because it's all-encompassing. But how is the administration looking at the implementation of this phase one of governor's regulatory reform proposals? Is it going to be piecemeal, trying to roll back in the legislature? Will there be executive orders or administrative procedures? Is this going to become itself a piece of legislation, LD1, that is being examined by a committee right now?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, primarily there are three ways. We've got executive orders, rulemaking, and through legislation. So we'll be looking at all of those ways to implement these proposals.
Is it a possibility that this six-page document itself could become a piece of legislation?
No. This, like I said earlier in our conversation, it is in concept form at this point, a very rough draft, if you will. And there will be further discussion. There will be more detail. There will be more fact and data that is provided along with the information within the six pages.
Okay. And this six pages was presented to the legislature's Joint Select Committee on Regulatory Fairness and Reform, who has had a couple of meetings now in Belfast and Presque Isle and will have a number more in the upcoming couple of weeks. What is it that this committee is being charged with this proposal put before them then? Or what is the governor asking?
You know, he wants the committee to look at this. You know, you need a draft of something before you can get to the final product. And this is something that is being taken into consideration. I think there are ideas, there are some concerns and suggestions in here that we feel are very valid, and that the committee, you know, we feel that they'll be taking the time to look at this, and before anything, you know, goes through, I'm sure a lot more discussion will take place.
Okay, and again, I'm just really trying to just get the nuggets, the nut and bolts here. You're having them look at this and then do what? Is this a proposal for policy in general, or is the charge of this committee to look at making this into particular pieces or a piece of legislation? What is the actual nuts?
Right. It's my understanding, making it into legislation.
Many pieces?
No, it could be various pieces. And like I said, executive orders is another way in which that some of these things could be put on the books, rulemaking and bills. So there are a variety of different different areas or different ways, if you will.
Okay, and there will be a chance for a public input later this winter on this?
Absolutely, public hearings, yes, and we encourage the public to come out and take part in that process. We have been saying from the start, it's people before politics, and a lot of these proposals, they have come from the people. And our governor, he is not about just talking the talk. He's walking the walk, and he's putting the information before the people and our legislators, and we want to hear from them.
And anything else you'd like to add?
No, Meredith, thank you for allowing me the time to speak on your program. And again, we just want to get the message out there that we are not trying to tear down any environmental laws. We feel that there can be a balance met, and we welcome discussion, and we're encouraging it.
Okay, and we would love to have you back on the program, or anyone else from the office, to discuss this as it goes forward.
Okay, great, we'll do.
Thank you very much. Again, that was Adrienne Bennett. You were listening to Radioactive. Today, we look at the governor's sweeping proposals to reform or eliminate a number of environmental and health laws in the state. We have with us Pete Dittesheim, the advocacy director of the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
We're here to talk about the recently revealed six-page document of environmental reforms titled Phase One of Governor's Regulatory Reform Proposals. Can you outline the issues that are most concerning to you and others who have been working in issues of environmental quality and environmental and public health issues?
Sure. First off, We are totally stunned by the sweeping nature of this proposed agenda to roll back Maine's environmental laws. We had an incredibly large and interesting roundtable event last week in Augusta. 500 people were in the audience, 29 different Mainers of all different types gave short presentations to the governor about why a clean and healthy environment is important to their jobs, to the future of Maine, to our quality of life. And during that session, the governor, after listening to the speakers, said, quote, "The regulations we have are good, strong, and needed." He also said, quote, "I believe in real, strong environmental laws." That was last Thursday. Then Sunday evening, he released a six-page list, 63 different proposals of, really, I can't characterize these as anything other than attack on some of Maine's most important environmental laws, eliminating or weakening 20 quite significant environmental laws that protect Maine people from toxic pollution, help encourage recycling of electronic waste, reduce air pollution, and really, which is, you know, one element of this which is just astounding, is a proposal to zone at least 30% of Maine's unorganized territory, so the LURC jurisdiction is 10 million acres, to zone 3 million acres of it for development. That's 10 times the size of Los Angeles. It's just a huge amount of land that would be zoned in our North Woods for development. It would end the North Woods as we know it.
And can you talk about some of the specific issues around consumer protections with regards to chemicals, specifically bisphenol A, and some of the other recent work being done on these health issues?
Sure. Maine has taken a leadership position, along with many other states around the country, in deciding that our federal laws, principally the TSCA law, the Toxic Substances and Control Act, is completely broken and is not protecting Maine people or the people of the country from toxic pollution. The science is demonstrating that humans are being exposed to toxic chemicals, including mercury and lead and cadmium and brominated flame retardants, in a fashion that is causing risks and probably cancer and developmental issues for children, pregnant women, and just about everybody. So over the last decade, Maine has identified specific products that contain mercury or cadmium or brominated flame retardants and has adopted laws to require the phase-out of those materials, including requirements that the manufacturers help pay for the end-of-life recovery of those products. These have helped reduce mercury pollution in Maine, reduce electronic waste going into our landfills, have been very successful in generating recycling jobs and shifting costs away from municipalities. But this proposal from the governor's office essentially says we should eliminate all of those laws. It also says that we should reject a proposal coming, you know, it's actually a recommendation coming from Maine's Board of Environmental Protection to require the phase-out of containers such as sippy cups and plastic bottles that include bisphenol A, which is a chemical of considerable concern. So we don't understand where these proposals have come from, but we can't imagine that Maine people have said we would like more toxic pollution in our environment, and we think that's a way to create jobs.
They say that a lot of these measures have come from the business community, but in talking with the press secretary, she wasn't really sure exactly how the elimination of this law would affect jobs in Maine. Do you feel that this is, from your experience in interfacing with the business community over the years, reflective of how you have felt that Maine's businesses feel about environmental regulations and health regulations?
Well, this whole basket of product stewardship bills and bills to phase out chemicals, Maine businesses haven't been the ones that have been lobbying against the final passage of these bills. They've passed by huge margins, in many cases overwhelmingly. The opposition has come from out-of-state chemical corporations, the bromine industry, the American Chemistry Council, that doesn't want Maine or any other state to make improvements over the broken federal system of controlling toxics in our environment. So this is like a wish list for out-of-state corporations. It has not been a refrain or a mantra of Maine businesses that they believe that we should keep toxic chemicals in our products. There have been these red tape audit meetings around the state that have covered a lot of different issues. I think environmental issues have generally been a minority of the issues. There have been concerns about health care costs. There's been concerns about the quality of the employees and education and, you know, the revenue, you know, the Department of Revenue and all sorts of things. But suddenly the environment, the environmental regulations of the state have become the punching bag, as if there's a new a mantra that we can weaken our environment and strengthen our economy, and it's just not true. And most Maine businesses realize that.
So you've heard perhaps seems to be discussion out there of simplification and elimination of redundancy, but what about this idea of the portions of the economy that are reliant on a strong environment?
Well, it's the biggest segment of our economy, probably. We have a $10 billion tourism industry, and the reason why people come to Maine is that we're not the same as New Jersey or Louisiana. So one of the proposals in the governor's package is that Maine should not have environmental regulations that are stricter than the federal government's. Well, the federal government's environmental regulations have been beaten down to the lowest common denominator to a level that is acceptable for a place like New Jersey. So if the people of Maine have decided that we want to keep our environment cleaner, why is the governor and this administration saying, no, you can't? We need to have the lowest common denominator rules. If we do that, we will end up looking like New Jersey. We'll have the pollution, the congestion, the fragmented and lost habitat of those places, and we won't have what is clearly one of our differentiating strengths, which is we have a clean and healthy environment, and this is a place where people want to come not just for recreation and tourism and vacations, but they want to move businesses here. And we've been hearing from businesses, including one that testified at our roundtable last week, a company called Kepware, who told the governor they moved from New Jersey to come to Maine. They could have gone to North Carolina. They could have gone to Texas, but they chose Maine because of our environment. Companies like that won't come if we start down a path of environmental decline, and that's what this package of proposals would do.
So we want to get in a minute to where this whole process goes from here as we understand it, but before that, let's touch on a couple of more points in this governor's regulatory reform proposals, six pages. in there is replace the Board of Environmental Protection with a full-time professional administrative law judge system that will hear appeals of major permits and DEP administrative enforcement actions. We're looking at reforms proposed, perhaps not in this document, but outside of the Land Use Regulatory Commission, and of how information goes through the Board of Pesticides Control. Can you talk about some of these institutional shifts and some other points that we haven't touched upon, for instance, sulfur dioxide and clean air issues?
Sure. So the proposal to abolish the Board of Environmental Protection, it's a legitimate area for policy analysis and discussion and to figure out what the right system is for the state. We have a citizen board for of oversight for the DEP called the Board of Environmental Protection, and we have a citizen board over at the Department of Conservation called the Land Use Regulation Commission. And those citizen bodies help ensure that there are opportunities for public input and communication directly to into the process. We do have a worry that if you eliminate the citizen board and replace it with an appellate judge system, you're going to lessen the amount of, you know, lessen the opportunity for the public to be involved in the process. And it will just be a system rigged for attorneys who know how to enter into an appellate process like that. Our overarching concern here is that there seems to be a desire to abdicate the responsibility of state government to help manage our environmental laws. So they want to push things down to the lowest federal level, and they also want to push things away from Augusta down to the municipal level and weaken the involvement of the civil servants who have the expertise, the scientific training, the efficiency of managing our environmental laws here in Augusta. And I think it's a recipe for failure. I think we'll end up with some serious increases in pollution and unbridled development in ways that we will regret. Now, you mentioned one particular bill that is proposed for elimination by the governor, and that's one that was passed last year by overwhelming vote of 132-9 in the House, 34-0 in the Senate, and it's designed to reduce sulfur pollution in heating oil and in industrial oil over the next 6 years. That clearly will reduce air pollution in Maine and improve air quality. And that's important because we have one of the highest rates of asthma in the country. So the less air pollution, the less asthma attacks. This bill passed after it had been negotiated to a point that we thought everybody was on board. So we do not understand why it would be rolled back. The result would be an increase in air pollution.
And I'm sorry, we are going to have to wrap this up in the next minute or so. So let's talk about where we understand this policy proposals go from here. The legislature's Joint Select Committee on Regulatory Fairness and Reform met yesterday in Belfast. There's an article about it in the Bangor Daily this morning. They met in Presque Isle and are going to be meeting in Bangor, Machias, and a number of other places that we'll announce at the end of this program. And can you talk about these next steps and what these meetings will entail concerning this regulatory reform proposal?
Sure. So the governor's proposals have been submitted into this committee to be considered as part of LD1, a bill that is intended to provide regulatory relief. We hope that this committee, this special committee, rejects the governor's entire package and instead uses the hearing process to gather its own ideas of where are the areas in our regulations across all of the agencies where improvements in implementation can be done to make the process more cost-effective, more predictable. That's what people mean by red tape. They don't mean eliminating the standards or reducing the standards. And so our hope is the legislature takes control of this, ignores some of these sweeping reductions in our environmental protections, and focuses on where the real issues are. And that process will play out over the next month or two. We hope that Maine people focus carefully on this because the stakes are large, and we urge them to show up at these meetings and communicate to the governor's office and to the legislators that We don't want to weaken our environmental laws.
And we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll continue to follow this issue.
All right, thank you.
Again, that was Pete Dittesheim with the Natural Resources Council of Maine. The public meetings of the Regulatory Relief and Fairness Committee will be held January 31st at University of Machias from 1 to 4, February 2nd at Bangor EMCC from 3 to 6, February 3rd in Auburn, February 7th in Sanford, February 9th in South Portland, and February 14th in the Cross State Building in Augusta from 3 to 6 p.m. You've been listening to Radioactive on WERU-FM.